Good afternoon to you. It's very good to see you all. We have visitors and we're glad for your presence. We are glad that you have chosen to be with us, and we encourage you to come back each and every opportunity that you have to be with us. I want to thank Brother Robert again for an excellent sermon this morning, a very bold, much needed sermon, and I want to commend him for that. Thank him for that and what he does. We are living in a world where morality does tend to bend to and fro and gets looser and looser, and we as Christians must choose to stand strong in the morals of which God has set forth for us. On Friday morning, millions of people across America chose to go out for some odd reason at 3, 4, and 2 o'clock in the morning to shop. That makes absolutely no sense to me. You may say it makes absolutely no sense to you for a perfectly good person to get up at 2, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning and go stand out in the freezing cold water and watch for something that doesn't appear in North Alabama. And you would probably be right in that regard too. But everybody got out Friday morning that got out to go shopping because why? Because they were looking for a deal, right? Looking for a sale. Got to get that 10, 20, 30, 40, 50% off. Sometimes up to 70% off. Got to get that sale. Got to get that deal. And a lot of the things to do with that deal was just to come home, I believe, just to come home to tell your significant other what a good deal you got on this Skyhook or whatever it is that we didn't need, and that you got 40% off on it. Well, that was a really good deal. And no, my wife didn't do Black Friday shopping this year, but she has many other years. But we do that because we like to get a deal. We like to get a bargain. We like to tell people about the deal we got. We like to tell people about the bargain that we were able, the deal we were able to make out with another individual. I love to barter. I love to bicker over price with somebody. I like to see how low I can get it or how low I don't have to go in order to sell whatever it is. My cousin still has my ringtone when I call her as Sanford and Son, because that's what I did for a few summers, is I just constantly just tried to buy and sell and buy and sell. And it's fun to me. It's entertaining. It's something that I enjoy doing. I like to make a deal, but I always like to make a good deal. And I remember times too where I've made bad deals. I made a bad deal with somebody. I bought a refrigerator from another guy at work that was moving out of the office. He didn't want to move out of the office, or he was having to move out of the office, and he didn't want to have to take the refrigerator with him. I was staying in the office, and I said, well, I want to keep that refrigerator. He said, well, that's my refrigerator. I said, all right. I said, how much you want for it? He said, $50. I said, okay, I'll give you $30 for it. He said, ain't no way, you know, and we wheeled and dealt back and forth. Of course, we ended up settling there in the middle at $40. And he said, well, I appreciate it. Thank you very much. And I said, now I got to know. I said, what did you buy that refrigerator from? He said, I bought it for $20 from the guy that had this job before me, and that refrigerator's still been in here. And I thought, well, there we go. I could have, boy, this hurts you, don't it? When you make a bad deal, when you miss out on something like that. Well, there was a bad deal in the Bible, and it was a really bad deal that was done really, really wrong. And it was made by two brothers, believe it or not. And it comes from Genesis chapter 25. If you want to turn with me there to Genesis chapter 25, we're going to look at those five verses which you see. Those will be on the overhead, but we're also going to look at a little bit leading up to the point where the deal was made. The story of Esau and Jacob. This was the sons of Isaac and Rebekah. Of course, them being twins, Esau was the eldest of the two. And there in verse 24, he says, so then her days were fulfilled to give birth. Indeed, there were twins in her womb. And in verse 26, afterward, Esau come out, and afterward his brother came out. And his hand took hold of Esau's heel, so his name was called Jacob. Isaac was 60 years old when she bore them. So you kind of get this image of Esau coming out of the womb, Jacob just hanging onto his foot, getting dragged out right behind him. And then that we are told by Esau that he was loved by his father Isaac, who was also a skillful hunter. In verse 27, Esau being that skillful hunter, a man of the field, but Jacob was a mild man dwelling in tents. Isaac loved Esau because he ate of his game, and Rebekah loved Jacob. And as we see that, we think about, you know, fathers and a father with one son, a mother with one son, and how children can be seen by their parents. And, you know, one tends to cling more to this parent and the other clings to this parent a little bit more. And you see that same imagery with Esau and Jacob, with their parents, Isaac and Rebekah. But that gets us to verse 29 in Genesis chapter 25. We have here, now Jacob cooked a stew, and Esau came in from the field, and he was weary. And Esau said to Jacob, please feed me with that same red stew, for I am weary. And therefore his name was called Edom. But Jacob said, sell me your birthright as of this day. And Esau said, look, I'm about to die, so what is this birthright to me? And then Jacob said, swear to me as of this day. And so he swore to him and sold his birthright to Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and stew of lentils, and he ate and drank and rose and went his way. And thus Esau despised his birthright. We have here this idea that that Esau comes in from the field, and he's, you know, wore out because he's like me. He didn't kill anything. He's been, you know, gone 3 or 4 days, and he ain't killed anything. He's starving to death, or maybe he killed something. He just hadn't got a chance to clean it and eat it yet. But he comes in, and here's Jacob. You know, he's been at the house, and he's got supper cooked, and boy, I'm starved. My belly button's done starting to chew on my spine back here, Jacob. I need something to eat. Jacob said, he sees a chance to make a deal, right? Sees a chance to, hey, he needs something. I want something. Let's see if we can work out a deal here. Let's make out an exchange. Jacob says, you give me your birthright and I'll give you something to eat. And Esau said, well, that sounds good to me. I'm starving to death right now. This birthright's not going to fill my belly. So let's go ahead. Let's make the deal. He said, well, swear to me. He said, all right, yeah, you get it. It's yours. It's done. Just give me a bowl of soup. So Jacob, of course, gives him that bowl of stew. He ate and drank, and he was happy. Went on his way. We see Esau that he sold his birthright. But with that birthright, what oftentimes was given as well with the physical things that Esau stood to gain from his inheritance from Isaac, he got the birthright was a little bit different than maybe just a normal inheritance. According to the times and the ways of the old Israel way of doing things, the eldest son would get a double portion of the inheritance. And that was done in order that they would take on his mother, the responsibilities of caretaking for his mother, or any unmarried sisters that might still be around, that he would have that double amount. So not only did he just get double, but he also kind of got, you know, a little bit double responsibility there to take care of things. And Esau gave all of that away. And we know how much he gave away by looking at how much Jacob ended up having, but we see what Esau eventually got in Genesis 36 and how, what a great inheritance, what little, well, getting the short end of the stick he still ended up with. Spiritual things that he also gave up with his birthright. He gave up all those physical things, but he also gave up some spiritual blessings and advantages with this particular birthright given by Isaac. He was to be the patriarch and priest of the house upon the death of his father. Isaac being the leader here, being the son of Abraham, leading on the way, carrying on his father's promises from God, his son would carry on those things. And Esau gave that up. He gave up being the head of the chosen family, the heir of the promised blessing. And he gave up the fact that he would pass on the blessing of Abraham regarding the threefold promise to him regarding the land, the nation, and the seed of all the earth. These things were at stake. All of these things were at stake when Esau decided to sell, to trade off his birthright to Jacob for that bowl of lentil stew. So he had a very bad bargain. He didn't know the art of the deal. He didn't know the way to truly bargain. Because he chose the sensual over the spiritual. He let his senses get the best of him. He smelled that soup. He knew he was hungry, and boy, it had to taste good. He gave in to his cravings of hunger. He valued the stew more highly than he valued his birthright. He gave away these things for a temporary physical pleasure. Esau gave away his birthright. That was a terrible, terrible bargain. And for this reason of this bad bargain, he is called a profane person. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, lest there be any fornicator or profane person like Esau, who for one morsel of food sold his birthright. And certainly, we would not want to think about making the same kind of bargain, would we? Where we would exchange our birthright for one small meal, for one small morsel of food. We'll look back at this Hebrews chapter 12 in a few moments, but for right now I want us to think about, are we selling our birthright in much the same way as Esau sold his? You see, we as Christians have a birthright as well. And in Galatians chapter 3 verse 29, it said, if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. So we are, as being part of Christ, we are part of that seed. We are part of the heirs of the promise that was given to Abraham. And not only of that, we are joint heirs with Christ. In Romans chapter 8 verse 16, the Spirit Himself bears witness to our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. You see, we share in this inheritance. Being heirs with Christ. Receiving the same things that He received. Being also known as children of God. And in James chapter 2 verse 5, listen, my beloved brethren, has God not chosen the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom? We who are rich in faith, we who are faithful people, believing in God, sticking to Him, having a strong, enduring faith, that we would also be heirs of that same kingdom, just as Christ is sitting on the right hand of God today. And that inheritance is in heaven. In 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 4, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We can certainly see from all of these verses that we have this opportunity. We have these things that are given to us, a birthright, an inheritance. One that is indestructible, one that cannot pass away, one that is in heaven, that will go on forever. We have those things waiting there for us. And so are you selling it? Are you selling that inheritance? Are you giving up into the passing pleasures of sin? Are you lusting after the things of the world? Are you walking in the flesh instead of the Spirit? No, Esau at the time saw not the value of his birthright, of his inheritance. He saw not the value at the time because the flesh was so weak. Being hungry, being thirsty, he wanted some nourishment. That he gave up all of the blessings that came with his birthright. He gave up all of the blessings for that inheritance that he would receive for something so small, for something so temporary that would not last. We as Christians have an inheritance, a birthright that awaits us. And if we give in to sin, then if we give in to its temporary satisfaction, what just, you know, makes us feel good momentarily, makes us feel good for a little while, it might be a few hours, it might be a few days, it might even be, what would be crazy, a few weeks, months. It might even bring pleasure for a year. But what does that compare to all of eternity? You still gave up something so small for something so great. And that you would take the things of the world, the things of the flesh, instead of the things of the Spirit. And in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16, we begin there with Paul telling us some of the things that we need to walk in the Spirit with. He says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambition, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. Of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in times past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. And that's what we're talking about, is the things that which we inherit. Awaiting our inheritance. Awaiting that birthright which is given to us as children of God, as joint heirs with Christ. But if you partake in these things, your birthright, your inheritance will be removed. And this was something that was not very common, but would be done in the old Hebrew days. Well, it still happens today for that matter. But the oldest son, by default, would inherit that birthright. Just as Esau, being the oldest, although it would be a few seconds, was the one who would hold the birthright, hold all of the things that would come with it. But only in certain occasions, a father might, by the way, the actions of the eldest child, remove that eldest child from that which was, quote unquote, rightfully his. And we see that with Reuben, who was the eldest son of Jacob, and him apparently losing his birthright loss for his actions with one of his father's wives. Our Father in heaven will also remove that which He has promised to us if we practice the things of the flesh, which are listed here, which we are told is very evident. That if we participate in these things, that we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. So what must we do? Well, we're in Luke because he didn't finish the chapter there. He continued on in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Boy, if Esau would have just had a little self-control, his bad bargain wouldn't have been so bad. Picking up there, against such there is no law, and those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, or envying one another. We need to hold fast to our birthright by having that peace and holiness, by looking carefully that we not fall short of grace, then participate in the things of the flesh, that we walk in the Spirit, exercising that discipline, that self-control, and that godliness, training ourselves that we would run the race, that we would finish the fight, that we would be conquering the foe. We need to hold on to that birthright. You see, Esau made that mistake. of depreciating the value of his inheritance and giving to the desires of the flesh. And we can make a very similar mistake in depreciating the value of our inheritance in Christ and giving in to the allure of immediate gratification of the flesh. Our world is filled with this instant gratification, that we would so quickly satisfy whatever our needs may be, that would roll over into our spiritual lives. That whatever would make me happy and make me emotionally fit right now, that's what I need. But rather being disciplined to finish the race, to conquer the foe, that we would not give in to the lusts of the flesh. A time will come when it is too late to claim your birthright. We talked about what a profane, evil person Esau was in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, who sold his birthright for that one more morsel of food. And it continues on in verse 17 of Hebrews chapter 12, saying, "For you know that afterward, when he wanted to inherit the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place for repentance, though he sought it diligently with tears." When the end of our life has come and we find out our reward, if we have been partakers in the things which are of the flesh, having sold our inheritance, sold our birthright for those fleshly lusts, then we, no matter how much we cry, no matter how much we beg, no matter how much we realize at that point, while we are in hell, there will be no giving back of the inherited blessings. However, you do have right now. If you do not delay and you do not wait until tomorrow, for we know not what tomorrow holds, that if we will be faithful, and that if we will come to Christ, and follow in His footsteps, being His children, being the children of God, we know that He leaves an inheritance for His children, that those who will faithfully follow after Him, He will not turn away. So if you're here this evening and you're not a child of God, you cannot call yourself a child of God, then you have no inheritance of His. And so we invite you to come and become one as we stand and as we sing.